Hi, good morning. Today's daf is Vachem, daf Tzadi Vav. We left off Tzadi Hey Amud Beis towards the bottom of the Amud. Today we're going to continue with a discussion of the concepts of Marika and Shtifa, and also the concept of Shviras Kli Cheres, in which the meat of the Chatas, or frankly even the meat of other Kache Kachim, as we saw, or maybe even Kache Kalim, would have to be done. So what we left off with yesterday was we saw the shita of Rabba Bar Eloi, that Rabba Bar Eloi said that if you grease an oven with the fat of meat and then you bake bread in that oven, it's usur forever to eat that bread. Why? Even to eat the bread with salt, which is something that's parv, because we're afraid that you may come to eat the bread with kutach, with something that is milchiks, and the bread will be fleshik bread, because you cooked it in an oven that you greased with the fat of an animal, and therefore it's going to be a problem. So the mashmos that we saw from Rabba Bar Eloi is that it's always going to be a problem, that basically this oven is off limits. You're never allowed to eat bread baked in this oven. And yesterday we concluded with a question with the tiyufta on the shita of Rabba Bar Eloi, because what we had said was that you're not allowed to make milchik bread because of hergel avera that we discussed yesterday, the circumstances under which one may be allowed to make milchik bread, limited circumstances. And what we said was, just like one's not allowed to make milchik bread, also one is not allowed to grease an oven with meat, with the fat of an animal. However, if you did grease the oven with the fat of the animal and then you baked bread, it's all going to be usur ad sheyasek es hataner, until you fire up the taner, meaning there's a way to kosher the oven. So Rabba Bar Eloi on the one hand said, once you make the oven fleishiks, you're never allowed to eat the bread, whereas the brisa that we cited said, even after you make the oven fleishiks, you're allowed to, if you can get rid of the issue, you can get rid of the problem by firing up the oven from the inside, basically by koshering the oven. So Rabba Bar Eloi said, no koshering. The brisa that we brought yesterday, that we asked the tiyufta on Rabba Bar Eloi, said, yes, koshering. You're allowed to kosher the oven. So the Gemara now is going to pick up from the last skinny line. So the Gemara says, first word on the line, Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. So says Ravina to Ravashi, v'chime achar di isosiv Rabba Bar Eloi, after we asked the tiyufta, inasmuch as we asked the tiyufta on Rabba Bar Eloi, and we establish that it is possible to kasher even an oven that's made out of cheres, it's possible to kasher. So amai amarav. So why in the world did Rav say that kederos bepesach yishavru? That the kederos, that earthenware pots that are made of cheres on Pesach, meaning that they were chametz tika pots, and now it's Pesach, so you have to get rid of your chametz yishaveru. So why does he say that you have to break? Why does he say that you have to break that you have to break these pots? After all, we asked the kasha on Rabba Bar Eloi, and we established that it is possible to kasher even earthenware vessels. So if it's possible to kasher even earthenware vessels, why do you have to break the chametz tika pots on Pesach? Just kasher them. So says the Gemara, Amar le Rav, Muki lo ahi b'shel mateches. So, in other words, when we spoke about the fact that you're able to kosher the oven, maybe we should suggest that the oven that we were talking about in the brisa yesterday was not an oven that was made out of cheres, it was an oven that was made out of mateches, it was a metal oven. That's why you were able to be kosher it. But if the oven were made out of cheres, you would not be able to kosher it. And that's why if you have these earthenware pots that are chametz tika pots, and now it's Pesach, you cannot kasher them because it's klei cheres, you cannot kasher klei cheres. Viba seima, maybe answer like this, betanor shel cheres. No, maybe yesterday we were talking, like I explained a couple of minutes ago, that we were talking about a tanor shel cheres, but there's a fundamental distinction between a tanor and a kedera. that zeh heseko mibefnim, by a tanur, the way you heat it up, the way you fire it up is on the inside, v'zeh heseko mibechutz. However, by a pot, the way you kosher it is that you fire it up from the outside. And the only way that you could actually kosher the earthenware vessel is by firing it up on the inside, because when you introduce the heat to the inside of the kli, you're making it super, super hot. And when you make it super hot, you have the ability to kosher the kli. However, by the pot, when you're only firing it up from the outside, you're not going to make a fire inside the pot. You're just introducing the heat source to the outside of the pot. The inside of the pot, which is where the blios are, is not going to get that hot. And therefore, it's not going to be sufficient to kosher the kli. So says the Gemara, why are you assuming that by a pot you have to make the heat outside? Make the heat inside. V'nevad asaka mibifnim. So just make the heat inside. Do the asaka. Fire it up from the inside. If the problem is that it's not getting hot enough to get rid of the blios, do it in a way that it's going to get hot enough to get rid of the blios. What's the problem? So make the asaka from the inside. So says the Gemara, chaya salea demetabri. Now the problem is that by a pot, you're afraid that if you introduce this incredible, this intense heat, that it's actually going to break the pot. And therefore, you're not going to fire it up from the inside. You're only going to fire it up from the outside. Now, because you're only firing it up from the outside, it's not going to get that hot. And because it's not going to get that hot, it's not going to expel the blios of Isser that is in it. And therefore, there is no ability to kasher a kedera shel cheres. So says the Gemara, Hilkach, therefore, Hai Kuvya, this Kuvya, which is a tile ring, it was basically an earthenware cylinder that they would bake bread in, as Rashi explains. It says, Rafim Chalulim Kamin Shvisas Kederos Upamim Shtachinos Oshemin Vofim Bolechema Kore Tachya. They would sometimes smear it with oil and they would bake bread on it. But this tile ring, which was an earthenware cylinder that they would fire up from the outside, Heseko Mibachutsu V'asur, if you would fire it up from the outside, it's going to be usur, assuming you greased the thing with either fleshic fat, or we could be talking about Pesach, where it's chametz stick, but because the hasaka is from the outside, it's going to be usur. However, the Mefarshim explain, by this tile ring, however, if you actually did do the hasaka mibifnim, if you did the hasaka on the inside of the tile ring, then it would actually be mutter. Because again, then you'd be introducing the heat source to the inside of the kli, and by this kuvya, just like by a tanur, we're not afraid that you're going to break it because it's not a little delicate kli. It's a much bigger kitchen fixture. However, by the kedera, as we saw, the problem is that you're only going to do the asaka from the outside. If you do the asaka from the outside, it's not going to get hot enough. And because you're not introducing the heat source to the place where the blios are, you are not going to be able to kosher it. So says the Gemara, okay, so I understand that there's a difference between a kedera and a taner. That the taner can be koshered because I'm introducing the heat to the inside. The kedera can't be koshered because I'm introducing it only to the outside. I would not introduce the heat to the inside of the kedera because I'm afraid I'm going to ruin the kedera. So says the Gemara, Ela kederos shel mikdash. However, kederos shel mikdash, amayi shavru. So why would they break the kederos in the Beis HaMikdash? Nahadrinu lekivshonos. Why don't you just return them to the kiln and basically kosher these kelim through a process called libun? That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, "Hol vistle takanta belibun." Since there is a takana belibun, which is when you fire up a kli and you make it real, real hot. Ho kimna the time of mishim beluahu veloa bishul kapid kra. So Rashi is making an assumption that we're only afraid of the blios in the pot. We're not afraid that you actually cooked, which is interesting because yesterday we had a kasha that we left unresolved. What happens if you cook in a way without blios? Does the pot still require shvira or not? And we didn't resolve that, but Rashi's assuming that the problem is with blios. The name of Gzeras HaKosavu, V'nihid B'mishkan Kosav Yishaver, L'vi Shalo Hayu Kvuin Lio Sham Kivshonos L'tzaref Klecheres. So Mimele in the Mishkan, where there were no kilns available, there was no way to kasher the Klecheres. Avo B'mikdash Nadrinu L'kivshonos Ayotzer Tzorfan Ben V'islabnu. You could do Libun. So again, What we had said was the problem with a pot, the reason that a pot can't be koshered is because you're not making the pot hot enough to get rid of the blios, because you're not introducing the heat to the inside, because you're not going to take a blowtorch on the inside of the pot's going to break. But if there's a way to put the entire pot in a kiln and make the pot super hot so that the blios go out of the pot, then that should be a valid way of koshering the pot. So the question is, why do we assume that all the pots in the Beis HaMikdash have to be broken because we're afraid of blios of the karbonos, which are going to turn into nosar? They had a kiln there, just stick it in the kiln. Says the Gemara, Amrav Zeira Lefish Enos and Kipshonos B'Yerushalayim. Ah, because your assumption is faulty. You're assuming that there are kilns in the Beis HaMikdash. The answer is no. There were not kilns in the Beis HaMikdash. They would not make kilns in Yerushalayim. Rashi explains the reason is because the kilns emit a lot of smoke, and we're afraid that if you have a bunch of kilns running that are belching a lot of smoke, it's going to darken the walls of Yerushalayim with that smoke, and that's going to be a gnai for Yerushalayim. It's going to be an embarrassment for Yerushalayim that the walls of the city and all the buildings in the city are going to be covered with this ugly black smoke. And others explained that what we were actually worried about were the walls of the Beis HaMikdash itself, that if the kilns were by the Beis HaMikdash, because we know that this had to be done in the Beis HaMikdash, if the kilns were in the Beis HaMikdash, they would be belching a lot of black smoke. It would pollute the actual walls of the Beis HaMikdash. That certainly is inappropriate. Tosfos points out that this gzeira is obviously only gzeira midrabanan. There's no halacha midaraisa that you're not allowed to have a kiln in Yerushalayim, but midrabanan, they said that you're not allowed to have a kiln in Yerushalayim. So, again, the question was, why do we have to break the kelim in the mikdash, even though there were these blios of Isser, just do libun in a kiln? The answer is, there are no kilns. But why? Because we're not going to put a kiln in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, but what's your alternative? Amar Rabbi, v'chiosen ashposos ba'azara. Are you going to make trash heaps in the azara? So the alternative is, every time I cook a carbon in a kli, I'm going to have to break the kli, because there are blios that are going to turn into nosar. So I have to break hundreds and thousands of earthenware vessels, and I'm going to leave them all in a big pile in the azara. That's bakavadik. So says the Gemara, ishtamuti hadatani, that it escaped abaya, that which hadatani shmaya bekal navo, that which shmaya said in kal navo. An interesting kal navo, Rashi points out, is a city, shem makam shenikra al shem avodas kochavim, kedechsev kerem navo, that it's a city that's named after an Avodah Zarah, which is interesting because we don't usually name cities after an Avodah Zarah. I assume that Kal Navo has something to do with the Lashon of Kalon, like, which is a Lashon of embarrassment, which may be why it's sort of a mocking name. Otherwise, I don't know why we would be permitted even to call this the name of the city by the Avodah Zarah. But whatever, Abai had forgotten the statement of Shmaya Bekal Navo, that Shivrei Klecheres Nivlon B'Mekoman. You asked the question, why is it better to break the Klecheres rather than doing Liban in a Kivshan? We have a Gzera that you can't make that you can't put a Kivshan in Yerushalayim because we're so afraid of the walls of the city, but we're not afraid that you're going to make a big garbage heap in the Azara. But he forgot what Shmaya said was that there was a Nase, one of the 10 Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash, was the fact that all of the shards of the klecheres that were broken were basically swallowed into the ground. So you forgot about that. That's why Shvira was a better alternative, was a more palatable alternative in the Mikdash than Libun. So says the Gemara, Elohad Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua, Tanur Shel Mikdash Shel Mateches Have. What we had said was that the Tanur, forget about the Kalim, that the Tanur of the Mikdash was Shel Mateches, and the reason was because we wanted to avoid a situation where every single time I cooked a karban, I now had to break the Tanur. But says the Gemara, Ni'avid Cheres, Da Seikam Mibifnimu. But why don't we just make it of Cheres? because what we had said was the only thing that I'm not allowed to kosher is a kedera, because by a kedera, I'm going to fire it up from the outside, and when I fire it up from the outside, I'm not going to make it hot enough to get rid of the blios, and we're afraid I'm not going to fire it up from the inside because I'm afraid I'm going to break it, but by a tanur, I don't have to be afraid I'm going to break it. So by a tanur, I am going to do the asaka mibifnim. And if I do the asaka mibifnim, I'm going to make it hot enough to expel the blios. So it turns out, what we had said just now in the beginning of this year was that by a tanur, I am able to kasher a tanur shel cheres. So why then do they insist that the tanur in the Beis HaMikdash has to be shel mateches? Let him make it out of cheres and let him kasher it. So says the Gemara, Dekivan de'ikah shtei alechem alechem aponim tafiyosem betanur, because there is the shtei alechem which accompanies the karbonos on shvuos and also the lechem aponim that they would put on the shulchan every week, tafiyosem betanur, viktushasan betanur, that they were baked in the tanur and they were niskadesh in the tanur. Rashi explains, uktushasan betanur she'ein nasim b'klei shareis, that the shtei alechem and the lechem aponim were not made in a kli shareis lefi she'ein tunim shemen. They never had to be placed in a kli shareis because they're not mixed with oil, so they never had to be placed in a receptacle. K'daminu b'perek shtei alechem lishasan v'arichasan b'chutz v'afiyasan mibifnim t'taner mekadesh lehu. So the vessel in the Beis HaMikdash that is lending kedusha to the shtei alechem and the lechem upon him is the tanur. So v'kedushasam b'tanur havei, so v'kedushasam b'tanur, so back in the Gemara, so last line, so havei le klei shareis, so the tanur is effectively functioning as a klei shareis because it's the tanur that's lending kedusha to the shtei alechem and the lechem upon him. V'klei shareis t'cheres lo avdinan, and we're not going to make a klei shareis out of cheres, out of earthenware. Va'afilu, because it's a bizayon. Va'afilu Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, flipping over to Tzadi Beis HaMabez. Va'afilu Rabbi Yosi, Tzadi Vav HaMabez, rather. Va'afilu Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, lo kamar ela de'etz, aval de'cheres lo. Even Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda says that if you, that who says that you can make a klei shareis out of wood, and that's not too much of a bizayon, still says that you cannot make a klei shareis out of cheres. So again, the question was, why do we make the tanur and the mikdash out of mateches? Can't they make it out of cheres? You could still kasher it. The answer is, yeah, you could still kasher it. But the reason that we make the tanur out of mateches is because it also has the status of a klei shareis, and you cannot make a klei shareis out of cheres. The Rambam says that if you do roast meat in a tanur shel cheres, it's a suffek if it requires shvira, or whether it's enough to do asaka, whether it's enough to fire up the oven from the inside and try to get rid of the blias that way. The Kesef Mishnah says it's interesting that the Rambam doesn't say that it requires shvira. Why does he say it's a suffek? If we have a suffek, really, so let him be machmer. Let him say, oh, you should break it. And he explains that this is a chumrah boili de kula. We're mesufek whether it requires shvira or whether you can actually kosher it. And if you're going to say just be machmer and break it, it's going to wind up being a kula because you're going to be breaking all of these pots in the Beis HaMikdash, and then you're going to be making a garbage heap in the Beis HaMikdash. Another achronim ask on the Kesef, what's he talking about? It's not a chumra boli de kula. We just said on Amud Aleph that there is no trash heap in the Azara, because one of the nisim in the Beis HaMikdash was that all of the shards of Klei Cheres were just swallowed into the land. And that's why the Rambam just leaves it as a toss-up. You don't have to say that Shvira is a Chumra Boli De Kula, because what we said was that there is no trash heap in the Beis HaMikdash at all, because everything Alpines was swallowed into the ground. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, second line down, Sadi Vav Amud Beis. So, Rav Yitzchak Rav Yehuda Avi Ragel Kameh the Rami Bar Chama. Rav Yitzchak Rav Yehuda used to learn in Rami Bar Chama Shir. Shavke va'ozul Rav Sheshes. He left Rami Bar Chama Shir and he went to Rav Sheshes Shir. Yom Achad Pogabei. One day Rami Bar Chama saw Rav Yitzchak Rav Yehuda Amar Lei, and he said to him what appears to be a snide comment. Al Kapta Naktan Recha Osile Liyad. That the Duke took me by the hand, and the fragrance of royalty came upon my hand. So in other words, he's basically accusing Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda of leaving his shir and going to Rav Sheshes' shir because he wanted to be known as one of the best guys in yeshiva, and he's in the top shir. So that's why he went to Rav Sheshes Hashir. So, and then he basically makes it express. So Mishum the Azlus Lecha Kameid Rav Sheshes Havilek Rav Sheshes. Ah, you think because you're in Rav Sheshes Hashir, all of a sudden you're a great Lamdan like Rav Sheshes? What's wrong with you? So he says, no, Amar Leis. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda says to Rami Bar Chama, Lami Shemachi. It's not because I wanted to be associated with Rav Sheshes because I think that Rav Sheshes Hashir is the top shir, and I want to be the best guy in the top shir. It's because of the following reason. Mar ki beina milsa pashat le mesvara. You, Rami Bar Chama, when we're ma'ayin in something, when we ask a question, we try to resolve something, you answer me based on svara. And therefore, kimashkachna masnisa, basically, if an amora answers something based on svara, that svara is a brisa, effectively. However, kimashkachna masnisa parchala. However, if we ever find a mishnah that contradicts your svara, that contradicts your brisa, then your svara is shlugged up, because a mishnah trumps a brisa. However, Rav Sheshes, kibina milsa, when we're talking and learning, kibina milsamine pashut lebi masnisa. Rav Sheshes will always bring a proof from a mishnah. The chinami mishkachas machnisa uparcha masnisa masnisahi. That way, because he found a proof in the mishnah, even though we found a contradictory mishnah, still it's one mishnah against the other, and therefore that's called a machlokas. But it's not called that my svara is overruled by another mishnah that already exists. So that's why I went to Rav Sheshes's. That's why I went to Rav Sheshes's shir. So he says, Amar Leis, Amar Bar Chama says, oh yeah, boy mine milsa difshat lecha kimas nisa. Ask me something and I'm going to resolve it based on the learning of a mishnah, based on the teaching of a mishnah. So boy mine, so he asked the following question. Bishul b'miksas kli. If you cook in part of a kli, in other words, you cook in a kli, let's say you have a pot that's very, very wide, and so you cook something in the kli, but the item that's placed in the kli doesn't cover the entire floor of the kli, doesn't cover the entire bottom of the kli, it's only on a little part of it. So the question is, you cooked in part of a kli, so ton mariko shtifa o ein ton. Does it require mariko or shtifa? Or does it not require Marika? Or does it not require Marika or Shtifa? So says the Gemara, Amarle, Einata. In other words, the question is, does the whole pot require Marika or Shtifa? Certainly the part that you cooked on requires Marika or Shtifa, because again, the point of Marika or Shtifa is that you're getting rid of the blias in the pot, and we're talking about a pot of Nechosha, a pot of Mateches. The question is, does the whole pot require Marika or Shtifa? So Amarle, so he said, Einton, it doesn't require Marika or Shtifa. The whole pot does not require Marika or Shtifa. Mide dehave ahaza, because it's just like haza. What does it mean? It's just like haza. And Rashi points out over here, damchata shenita is ala beged, titnan b'masnisin, ainton kibus ela makam adam. What we saw in our mishnah that we learned yesterday was that if the damchata spatters on a beged, it's not the entire beged that requires kvisa, it's only the part that the blood spilled on that requires kvisa. So just like by a beged, only the part that was stained requires kvisa, it makes sense that by a pot, that only the part of the pot that was cooked on should require marik or shtifa. Says the Gemara, Volo Tanahachi, but Volo Tanahachi, and Rav Yitzchak Rav Yehuda says, well, we don't find any mishnah that says that if a pot was used to cook kachim and only part of the pot was touched by the kachim, then only part of the pot requires marik or shtifa. And Amarlei, mistabra, but it's mistaber, kebeged, that it should be like a beged. Ma beged ainton kibus ela makam adam, af kli ainton marik or shtifa ela b'makam bishul. Just like the beged only requires kibus in the place that was stained by the blood, so too the pot only requires marik or shtifa in the place that was touched by the meat, in the place where it was cooked with. So says the Gemara, Amarlei, mi dami, so Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda says to Rami Bar Chama, are they really comparable? Dam la mafafa. Bishul mafafa. The blood doesn't permeate. The blood doesn't spread. If you look at the beged and part of the beged is stained, then only the part that's stained was exposed to the blood. The blood doesn't permeate and pervade throughout the entire beged. Over here, we're worried about blios. The fact that the thing touched only one part of the pot doesn't prevent the blios and the effect of the food to spread to the entire pot. V'otanya, and furthermore, we learn in a brisa, chomer ba'azah memrika shtifa, that hazah is more chomer than merika shtifa, v'chomer b'merika shtifa me'ba'azah. And on the other, and on the flip side, merika shtifa is more chomer than hazah. Chomer ba'azah, hazah has a chomra, shazah yeshna b'chatos hachitzonios u'b'chatos hapnimios. That hazah applies both by chatos, dam chatos hachitzon, and dam chatas hapnimi, but to both of these, v'yeshna lifnei zrika, and it also applies before zrika. And Tosfa says it's a chumra for something to apply even before the avodas hadam is effective. Masha'en came by Mariko Shtifa. Masha'en came by Mariko Shtifa. So what does it mean, Masha'en came by Mariko Shtifa? So Mariko Shtifa only applies by Echatas Achitza, not by Echatas Apnimi, because Echatas Apnimi is not eaten. It's all burnt on the Mizbeach. And Mariko Shtifa is only when the Basar of the carbon was cooked in a pot. And it also applies only after the blood. What Tosfos is bothered by here in Divrei Maskil Chomer is, why do we say it's a Chomer that something applies even before the Zrika? Let's say it's a Chumrah that it applies even after the Zrika. And Tosfos says, no, it's more mistaber that once the blood avoda is done, that it should have a more Chumrah status, because now the avoda is completed and the Karban is at its peak level of Kedusha and effectiveness. It's a Chumrah to say that even before the blood avoda is done, there is an element of Kedusha or Halacha that would specifically apply at that time. So these are the Chumrahs of Hazah over Marika Shtifa. And now the punchline, Chomer b'Marika Shtifa. Marika Shtifa is more Chomer. Shamarika v'Shtifa noheges b'Makache Kachem b'Makache Kalim. That Marika Shtifa is no egg both by Kache Kachem and by Kache Kalim. Again, because it's an issue of getting rid of the Blios of Nosar. Masha Ein Kain Kibus, which only applies by Dam Chatas. And Bishal b'Miksa Sakli, if you cooked even in just part of the kli, ton marika shtifa kala kli masha'en kein baza, that it requires, the entire kli requires marika shtifa, unlike hazah, where only the part of the beged is stained requires kibus. So it says the Gemara, Amarle itanya tanya. Okay, so if you have a brisa, then you have a brisa. So in other words, what happened over here was Rami Rachama tried to challenge Rav Yitzchak Rav Yehuda to ask him a question that he would support from a Mishnah. He didn't really support it from a Mishnah because he was making a deduction based on our Mishnah, but that's his own Amarok statement. And then we brought another Amarok statement. We brought another brisa that basically contradicted what Rami Bar Chama tried to tell him. So he said, "Itanya Tanya." Okay, so we had a brisa that Beferish told us that if you cooked in a pot and only part of the pot was exposed to the meat, nevertheless, the entire pot requires Mariko Shtifa. Says the Gemara, "V'taimamai." So Amar Kra Vim Bichli Nechoshes Bushala Vafilu Mixas Kli. It says in the pasuk, "Im Bichli Nechoshes Bushala." Mashmos says, even if only part of the kli was used to cook, still the entire kli requires Mariko Shtifa. The Achronim are bothered, why do we need this pasuk? We, in the course of this exchange between Rami Bar Chama and Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, we saw why the entire pot requires Mariko Shtifa. The entire pot requires Mariko Shtifa because, unlike by Dam and the Kibbutz, we can't say that the exposure was limited to the place that actually came into contact with the meat. We said that everything permeated throughout. So if everything permeated throughout the pot, of course the entire pot requires Mariko Shtifa. Nevertheless, we find a source in the Psukim to teach me that the entire pot requires Mariko Shtifa. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. First wide line. So Echad Kache Kachem. So we had said that the din of Mariko Shtifa applies both by Kache Kachem and by Kache Kalim. So Tan Rabbanan, Chatas. It says in the Pasuk Chatas that we see the Halacha of Mariko Shtifa by Chatas, and we say as follows: Ein li ela Chatas. I only know therefore Chatas. Kol Kachim Minayim. How do I know all Kachim? Tamalomar Kodesh Kadashim Hi. Yachal Shani Marbes Atruma. I might think to include even Truma in the Alacha Mariko Shtifa. Tamalomar Osa. It says in the pasuk Osa Kol zochar b'kohanim yochol osa kodesh kadashim hi. So prat l'truma. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that comes to exclude truma, but everything else, kachem kachem and kachem kalim, is included. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says kachem kachem tuna marika shtifa. It's only kachem kachem which require marika shtifa. Kachem kalim ain't tuna marika shtifa. Kachem kalim do not require marika shtifa. Tichsiv, because it says like this. Kodesh Kadashim, it says Kodesh Kadashim in Kachim Kalim Lo. That it's only Kache Kachim and not Kachim Kalim. So says the Gemara, my time as Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? This is pretty mistaba, right? It says Kodesh Kadashim He, so it makes sense that the only time Mariko Shtifa should apply is by the thing that's Kodesh Kadashim. So it says, my time is Rav Yehuda. May the Itzrich Osa, Lemute Truma, from the fact that we put the word Osa in the Pasuk, and we're learning from Osa that it excludes Truma, so it's gotta be Mechlal de Kachay Kalim Tuna Marika Shtifa. It's gotta be that Kachay Kalim require Marika or Shtifa. Because if Kachem Kalim didn't require Marika or Shtifa, I wouldn't need a Mia to tell me that Truma doesn't require Marika or Shtifa, because Truma is on a lesser level than even Kachem Kalim. So if the Osa comes to teach me that Truma is excluded, it's obvious that everything else is included. So says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Amar Lecha, and Rav Shimon will say, Osa Kedamran, Osa is Kedamrinan, meaning that, and Rashi says, Osa Kedamrinan, Rashi explains, Osa Kshera Velo Psula, Da'afkile Rav Shimon La'el Chata Shaisala Shasa Kosher Venifsala. In other words, the Osa comes to teach us the Lima that we had on Sadi Gimel Amud Aleph, which taught us that the only type of Chatas that is included in the halachos of kibbutz and marika shtifa because marika shtifa is only when you cook it, but the only type of chatas that's included in these halachos is a chatas that's kosher. But a chatas that's pasul is not eligible, is not included, even if it originally had a shasa kosher. In other words, even if it was first kosher, then became pasul, still is not included in the halacha. So what does Rav Shimon do with Osa? Kedamran, he says, only that type of chatas that's spoken about in the pasuk, i.e. a chatas kshera, has all of these halachos. Utruma, laba, so, however, nothing else requires nothing else requires marika or shtifa, because the pasuk says kodesh kadashim. Kodesh kadashim means, as it says literally, only kachim kachim, not kachim kalim, certainly not truma. So now the Gemara is going to ask on that: a truma lo boy shtifa marika? Does truma not require marika or shtifa? Vatanya, but we learn as follows: kedera shebishal ba basar, a kedera in which meat was cooked, lo yivashal ba chalav, you shouldn't cook milk in it. Im bishal b'no saint tam, and if you cooked meat and milk in the same pot, then whether the food is going to become osur, whether it's basar b'chalav, is going to depend on whether it's no saint tam, which tam no saint tam is echad b'shishim. Truma lo yivashal b'chulin, if you use the pot to cook truma in, you shouldn't cook chulin in it. V'im bishal b'no saint tam, and if you cooked in it, then it's going to become osur, but no saint tam. And again, the mashmos is that it would require kashering. It would require that you kasher the pot with marika ushtifa, as Rashi points out. V'mbishal b'no saint tam ne'sarim achulim lezarim. If the truma is no saint tam, the chulin food is going to be usher to zarim. Alma boy hagala. It requires hagala liflot isra nivla b'klishala yasser. You have to do hagalah on the kli, you have to rinse it out, so that all the blios of iser, all the blios of truma, are removed from the kli. So doesn't this tell us, if we're talking about a pot that was used to cook truma, and we're talking about hagalah that you require rinsing in order to get rid of the blios, doesn't that teach me that truma has a din of marika shtifa as well? Says the Gemara, no it doesn't. Amar Abaya lo tzricha, ela lida amar mar. So maybe we need it for this other halacha. Bishal b'miksas kli, if you cook in only part of the kli, ton marika shtifa kala kli, then all of it requires marika shtifa. Ha truma lo tzarech elamaka bishal. Ah, so the distinction between truma and kachim is that the halacha is by kachim, even though the kachim only kach part of the kli, the entire kli requires marika shtifa. However, by truma, if the truma only touched part of the kli, then only the part of the kli that was touched by the truma requires marika shtifa, but the rest of it does not require marika shtifa. Rava says, no, lo tzricha ela lo damar mar, that the distinction between truma and kachim is as follows, b'mayim velo b'yayin, that by kachim, the marika shtifa has to be only with water, cannot be with wine, and b'mayim velo b'mazug, it has to be only with water, it cannot be with diluted wine. In other words, the only liquid that's valid for marika shtifa is water, masha'en kein hagala, which can be done with other liquids. So, b'mayim velo b'mazug. Ha, however, by truma, afilu b'yayin v'afilu b'mazug, you could do the rinsing even with wine, even with mazug. And Rabba Bar Ula amar lo tzricha, Rabba Bar Ula says, no, what we spoke about rinsing the truma pot is not mariko shtifa. That's a separate halacha of hagala. What's the difference between mariko shtifa and hagala? They all sound like rinsing to me, right? I mean, what's the difference? So Rabba Bar Ula amar lo tzricha ela lada marmar mariko shtifa betzonein. Mariko and shtifa is done with cold water. And Rashi points out, hang on, the mariko shtifa has got to be done with cold water. Obviously, you also need a hagala, which is with hot water, because the cold water doesn't expel the blios. It's actually the introduction of the heat that expels the blios. It's the hot water that causes the blios to go away. So you definitely need the hagala. The thing is that by kachim, you also need the marika and shtifa. So, ela so latzricha el damar mar marika shtifa betzonein. Ha afilu b'chamin. Truma can be done only with a plain hagala, and therefore it can be done with hot water. You don't need the additional rinsing with cold water by truma. So says the Gemara, Hani chalamandi amar marika v'shtifa betzonein. This distinction between kachim and truma, it's all copacetic if you tell me that marika and shtifa is betzonein. However, alamandi amar marika b'chamin v'shtifa betzonein. If you want to say that marika is with hot water and shtifa is with cold water, ma'ika l'meimar, what then is the distinction between kachim and truma? So the Gemara gives what appears to be the obvious answer. So shtifa yiserta. What's the difference? The difference is the shtifa. The difference is the rinsing with the cold water. So if you want to tell me that marika is hot water, which is effectively your hagala, and shtifa is then rinsing it out with cold water to get rid of all the water that has the blios in it. So the chumrah that kachim has over truma is that by truma it's enough to do the hagala once with hot water and then you're done. By kachim you haven't added a chumrah because first you're doing the marika with hot water, then you're doing the shtifa with cold water to get rid of the rest of the blios. So that's the way you're going to get rid of the rest of the blios. All right, so we'll leave off over here. We'll pick up from the Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow.